Morning.
Here's Phil.
Okay, good morning. Thanks, Bob. Good morning, everybody. I'm gonna screen share, so hopefully you'll be able to see what is up on the screen. Can everyone hear me okay? Is that a yes? Okay. You give me a wave if you're not, because sometimes my computer or my system here kind of blanks out. Just wonderful to be with everybody. Oh, everybody's giving me thumbs up. Thank you. So just wonderful to be with everybody that we aren't normally with, Letha and Fred and Hosmeek. It's so wonderful to see you, Tony and Barbara and Debbie, you too. Joey, I name you one by one. Just we sure miss seeing you. I know we don't see Fred and Hosmic, so that's a real treat to have you or to see you guys. So this morning I'd like to share what's on my heart. I this year, five books, particularly in the Bible, have spoken to me, and have actually been part of what we've been on the east side, because we were studying from two of those books, Ezra and Nehemiah. But five books have particularly spoken to my heart during these times. And that is Ezra, Nehemiah. And by the way, the Jewish Bible, there's only one book of Ezra, which includes Nehemiah, and Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And this morning, we're looking at just one verse from Daniel, and that we want to focus on right now, and then we'll have some prayer. The street, Daniel 9:25. I thought it would be good to put this up on the screen share. That way, you don't have to be thumbing through if you don't want to. So the street or the open square shall be built again, and the wall, the moat, it's actually like a moat. A moat is a wall, even in troublesome times. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. These are troublesome times in many ways. And even this morning, the trouble of your people doesn't seem to subside for very long. And yet, we have to say we've learned this year in a wonderful way how to trust you, how to rely more upon you, how to make things simpler in our love and fellowship with you and with one another. So, Lord, we just ask that you'll bless your word to our hearts, that you will speak to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Now, I want us to notice something about this verse, that even in troublesome times, so that's a very important operative word. And looking at a couple of other, and we'll elaborate a little bit on that. In Acts chapter 14, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God." And then the last verse in Proverbs, when the whirlwind passes by, when the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Now, this period of five books that we know as the post-Babylonian captivity lasted. It's a period of time of about 100 years in which it was written. We would think, of course, as we often do when we read scripture, that we are reading things that are, first of all, chronological, and they're rather succinct, when actually there's great periods of time that pass between great events. It's kind of like our own life. You know, we don't, we have things that happen to us, and we can remember particularly difficult times that we have passed through, and the date and the time and the place, and even where we were, what time it was, and so on. But there's usually great periods of time that pass between those events. And I'm struck when I look at Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, that there here we have 100 years. And yet at the beginning of that period, we are told by from Daniel that of a marvelous prophecy that the city, Jerusalem, would be rebuilt, but in that it would also be that the wall and the court, the open square, the street, shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. Now, I think that this is a not only a time in history, both for them and perhaps in the coming day, I think it's a principle, much like Paul going back, as we read, he goes back to Iconium, Lystra, Antioch, goes back on his first missionary journey after a lot of persecution, a lot of difficulty, to re-encourage the brothers and the new converts that we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. So that's part of that principle. Even in troublesome time, the wall will be built. Even in difficult times, God continues his work. Our brother Todd mentioned about the sufferings of Christ. Christ is suffering through us on this earth. We are, while we are here, these difficult and trying times prove us to be rather lacking, but the Lord, of course, is never lacking in strength and help and his mercies. But it usually comes in troublesome times. So I want to look at what was at stake for them, and that is, what during these troublesome times, what was the Lord after? What was he bringing his people to? One remarkable thing about when we look at that period of time in their history, it's sort of a, not only a return, but also it's a launching forward to the 450 years that lie ahead, to the coming of the Messiah. The Lord would not have really anything new to say, but he would have a reinforcing and a re-encouragement of old things that he's already said. And the first thing we look at is the foundation that the Lord had laid. When Ezra records that first group of some 50,000 Jews who were called out, and I think by the Lord, to go back, there were some 2 to 3 million Jews in Babylon, in Upper Mesopotamia at that time, but only a small portion, a small remnant, as they are called, went back, had a heart. And Zerubbabel, who was of the son, was a son of David. He was from the house of David. He was of royal lineage. Went back. And it was at great, great sacrifice. So when they had arrived, it took some months for them to get there. Ezra 3:3 tells us, though fear had come upon them because of the people of those countries, they set the altar on its bases, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and the evening burnt offerings. So here is the first, in difficult times, was the foundation of the, not of the ark, not of the temple itself, but the altar. And the altar, I think, referring here, is the altar of the cross. That is always the fundamental foundation that we return to again and again and again. That's a foundation that is never removed. It is never disrupted. It is permanently anchored into all eternity. So we are told that they, each morning and evening, they had the burnt offering. Now, this was something that wasn't just done by habit. This indicates that this was something very real for these ones. They were surrounded by the people that were around them. They were in fear of the people that were around them. And yet they put, the first thing they did was not build the walls of the temple. not try to even institute the priestly, that would come later, but it was to set the altar upon its base, always keeping before us the finished work of Christ. When he said, "It is finished," what a broad statement that was. Not only our salvation, but the building of the house, the building of his testimony in his people. So even in hard times, and actually I'm appreciate these times because it has brought me, and I know many of us, and closer to the Lord, back to the Lord in a deeper way. So this was an important event in their life. And yet for them, they didn't feel they had the victory, but the Lord yet was working. Now, we already read from Proverbs, when the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. I believe that's the cross. I think Bob Myers has mentioned from Nahum, the Lord has his way in the whirlwind. That has been a verse for me as well. Whirlwinds do horrible things in our lives. We need only look at the pictures of a whirlwind, which it's the same word, tornado. It shreds wood. It shreds everything. But he has his way in the tornado. While the whirlwind passes by, but we're not destroyed. The wicked are no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. And just a reminder of a very familiar verse, Jesus said, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. So the first thing about being built, as we said, that the wall and the court, even in troublesome times, will be built is because it's founded upon Jesus. It's founded upon the rock. Now, there's another thing. The next thing besides the foundation is the lesson they had to be reminded. And we are told in Ezra 3 that they kept the Feast of the Tabernacle. The Feast of the Tabernacle was something they had lost or gone in and out of numerous times. They had forgotten it, in some cases, had forgotten it for over 150 years. But it was a reminder that they were strangers and pilgrims in this world. Nothing, troublesome times remind us that we do not have a lasting city here. They looked for a city. That's from Hebrews. I'm sure you recognize that. We won't read it, but I think that there's a marvelous correlation here. We are reminded in difficult times that these things are not lasting. Nothing here is lasting. We are pilgrims and strangers here. We wait patiently for a city whose builder and maker is God. Even Isaiah said, there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge and for a shelter from the storm and rain. Now, again, this very well could be some future single event, but I think, again, much like our verse in the beginning, even in troublesome times, this is a principle throughout Scripture. God has provided for us a tabernacle that is Christ, the ark, the place to which we hide and find as our dwelling place, not just a matter of doctrine and teaching and that sort of thing, but a living, wonderful person of fellowship that we have with him. It's a refuge and a shelter from storm and rain, the very thing that the Lord spoke of when the storms come. And by the way, in that verse, it's pretty clear when the storms come. It's assumed that the storms will come. It's not if, it's when. And they do come. Now, the third thing was, during these troublesome times, they were troubled and frustrated of purpose. How many of us, you know, have had our lives put on hold during this time? We are frustrated. God has put his hand on every man, like Job was told by Elihu. God puts his hand on every man that they might see his work. In other words, he prevents us. These people as well, they were troubling. They had enemies around them. They troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. All the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. This was, by the way, for approximately 15 years, they were frustrated. Even though they had been given the great king Cyrus, Cyrus the Great, he's called, of Persia, who had sent them with his blessing. I believe he even, perhaps even came to a knowledge of the God of Israel, the way he speaks, calling him God's anointed from Isaiah. One of only two names in scripture, by the way, that he's called out by name over 150 years before he existed or was alive. Yet even with all of this provision, there were hindrances, and they hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose for the remaining years that Cyrus was king, which again, I think was about 15 years, 15 to 18 years. So they got there, they build the altar, they put it on its base, they lay the foundation stone for the house, but then they got frustrated by the enemies around them and the circumstances, and they were discouraged to moving on for 15 years, not just a few months. We've been frustrated by 1 year. They were frustrated for 15 years. They had to wait patiently for the Lord. They looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. They aren't the builder. God's the builder. So even in troublesome times, the Lord builds. There's big gaps between those that building work, but brothers and sisters, he's always building and building on the rock. Now, another element that was there was false accusations and rumors, but even the force of arms a little further on. Let it, in Ezra chapter 4, verse 13, let it now be known to the king. This was the letter that was sent to King Darius, who had come to power, or actually, I'm sorry, it was Xerxes, had come to power, and their enemies sent a letter about them, a bad letter, gave them a bad name. Let it now be known to the king that if this city is built and the walls completed, they will not pay tax, tribute, or custom, and the king's treasury will be diminished. This was simply not true. This was a rumor. It was false. We hear many, many false things these days that would hinder the work of God. And they do for a season hinder. But then in verse 24, further on, thus the work, this led to the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, to cease. And it was discontinued until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Of course, Cyrus the Great was killed in battle, and there was great government changes. The unexpected, no one expected Cyrus to die. He was quite the powerful leader and had a marvelous, actually, as kingdoms went, it was a marvelous kingdom in many ways, better than Babylon, than the world had ever seen up until that time. So those are the three things: false accusations, the foundation, and so on. Now, the next thing was that stood in the way of them going on. And I mentioned before that Nehemiah is part of Ezra. It's really one book. It's Ezra. It's actually in some it's called Ezra 1 and Ezra 2, Ezra, Nehemiah being Ezra 2. There was yet another problem, but this problem was not external. It was internal. It was unique to God's people. the survivors in Nehemiah 1:3 who were left from the captivity. So Nehemiah had heard now some 60 years has gone by, 60 years from the end of chapter 1 of Ezra to Nehemiah 1 was about, I believe, 55 to 60 years. The survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down and its gates are burned with fire. I want us to focus especially on the wall of distinction. Now, within the body of Christ, there are no distinctions between Jew and Greek. But in the world, in the Christian, there are distinctions. The mixture and compromise of the church is one of God's great obstacles to him building. We can go on many years and find after a while that we have perhaps mixed a little bit into our life, into the comforts of this world. We aren't really pilgrims. We aren't really looking to the Lord. We know all the words, we know all of what we should do, but our heart is not really toward the Lord the way he would have it. The Lord had to do a work in the heart of these captives. After the 60 or so years, not only was the altar built, the temple had been rebuilt, but what lacked was the wall. The wall remained uncompleted. It was burned with fire. There was no distinction between them and the nations that were around them. Now, over time, and this took another number of years, probably 10 years, Nehemiah and Ezra worked during this period to bring two things, a distinction of God's people through the symbol of that wall, which they finished in 52 days. They had a heart to work, a mind to work. And the other thing that came along was, in a wonderful way, was the word of God. And we read in Nehemiah 8, they read distinctly from the book of the law. Now we're studying this right now, and this verse particularly on Tuesday night, this verse particularly spoke to my heart. They read distinctly from the book of the law of God. And let's remember, when we talk about the law of God, we are referring to the whole counsel, the whole of the Old Testament, as we would call it, the whole of the Tanakh, of the Pentateuch, of the Psalms, of the poetry books, the history books. And it was from there distinctly. The Bible is distinctly the book of mankind, never more so than it is today. It started with a nation, but then it has grown into over 1,600 unique languages throughout the world. And very often throughout church history, it's been lost to God's people. But here we are told that Nehemiah and Ezra, apart from all the other things that were on their mind, this distinction, the wall, the separation from the nations that were around them, the being a pilgrim, the foundation, the Bible had to take its rightful place in the hearts of God's people distinctly. Do we spend time each day with the Lord? I read of a brother the other day who for 72 years read the psalm, some psalm every morning for over 72 years. And then he went on reading other things and actually was one of the many Bible scholars of the 19th century. He loved the Word of God. He said that as the heart, so is the theologian. As the heart, so is the theologian. I know of no way but to have my heart stirred, and any hope, I'm no theologian, but any hope to really hold the life of Christ I can only do it by being in the Word every day. Then we are told Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and the scribe and the Levites, who taught the people and said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They were under conviction. You know, I have to say, I'm grateful for the conviction of the word. I'm grateful for the light that it casts upon my dark heart and the need to hear heavenly things. So the church has gone through this and been going through this for 2,000 years. The wall will be, even in troublesome times, I think those are actually the best times. So in conclusion, I wanted to read something and that I thought was very appropriate by a church historian in his describing the many hundreds of years of church history. He wrote this in the 19th century. He said, "Christianity has passed through many stages." He put 9 of its earthly life, and yet has hardly reached the period of full manhood in Christ Jesus. During this long succession of centuries, it has outlived the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the Roman Empire, fierce persecutions from without, and heretical corruptions from within, the barbarian invasion, the confusion of the Dark Ages, the papal tyranny, the shock of infidelity, the ravages of revolution, the attacks of enemies, and the errors of friends, the rise and fall of proud kingdoms and empires and republics like our own. Ours is a republic. Philosophical systems and social organizations without number, and behold, it still lives. And it lives in greater strength and wider extent than ever, controlling the progress even of civilization and the destinies of the world, marching over the ruins of human wisdom and foolishness, ever forward and onward, spreading silently its heavenly blessings from generation to generation, from country to country, even to the ends of the earth. I like that last part. It's heavenly blessings. Well, the heavenly blessings isn't what we know as much as who we know in life. So even in troublesome times, the Lord will build his house. He will build his church. And some of those troublesome times, we could make all of us here, well, many of us on this call that I see have had very troubling 18 months, 24 months. Yet the Lord, we can all say that the Lord is faithful. Even in troublesome times, the wall will be built. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and the width and breadth of it. From Dan to Beersheba, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you've left us your promise that we stand upon a rock, upon a foundation that cannot be moved. So we praise you this morning, and we thank you for your great love and faithfulness. Lord, even in troublesome times, Lord, you will build your church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. Lord, we thank you. This is only because of you, not because of anything we've done, but because you are with her. You are with us. So, Lord, we rejoice and thank you. You are the one precious King, the King of kings and Lord of lords. In Jesus' name, amen.